God loves you right where you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay there. Now, you've all heard that from me before. I want you to know that in the fiber of your being. God loves you right where you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay there. First part, God loves you right where you are. If we can't accept that, we can't even begin the spiritual life. But man, how many people struggle with that. God loves you, every single one of you, right where you are right now, 100%. There's nothing you could do that would make him love you more, and there's nothing you could do that would make him love you less. He just loves you, 100%, all the time. So believe that. And if you don't, pray for a grace to believe it tonight. But the second part, friends, God loves you too much to let you stay where you are. See, if we don't believe that, if we don't accept that, we can't go anywhere in the spiritual life. If we don't believe the first one, we can't even begin the spiritual life, really. But if we don't believe the second part, that he loves us too much to let us stay where we are, we can't go anywhere in the spiritual life. You see, God's love isn't just mere tolerance. It's transformation. He doesn't just put up with you and your sinfulness for all eternity. No, he wants to break into your life and effect a radical change. He wants to transform us, our hearts, every fiber of our being, so that we can be supercharged with the grace of his love, his presence in us. Christ's love makes demands. See, it's not just mere toleration. It will change us radically at the very depths of our being if we let it into our lives. And maybe that's why we're so evasive. Because somehow, some way, we know that if we really do get serious about following Jesus, everything is going to change. Well, friends, tonight we have this great gospel. And it's a perfect example of Jesus loving someone, specifically Peter, right where he is. But loving him too much to let him stay where he is. I hope that all of you go back and pray with it. It's the beginning of the 5th chapter of Luke. Break open your Bibles and read it sometime this week. What do we have? Well, we have Jesus acting. We have Peter reacting. Pay attention. When you go reread it, I think what you'll find is that Jesus comes across as slightly, if not very, bossy. He shows up on the scene, and with no invitation from Peter, and no consultation, and no time spent building relationship with Peter, he just breaks into his life. He acts. He commands. He tells Peter to do things, and Peter doesn't even know who he is. But friends, that's how God's love is. You see, he won't wait for us. He loves us too much to let us stay enslaved in our sins, to let us stay shrunken and small-minded and small-souled. He won't wait for us to fix ourselves because we can't. He won't let us be mired in mediocrity. He's on the move. He's in charge. He's the one who comes and breaks into our lives. And thank God for that. Because who among us has figured it out enough to say, I can do this. I will approach the Lord. I'll figure it out. Sinners that we are, every single one of us, we need Jesus. We need him to come to us. That's the gift of Christianity. We don't fix ourselves. We don't perfect ourselves. Jesus comes to us. What happens to Peter? Well, there's a lot of ways to read his reaction. So mine will be one among many. But I discerned in praying with this gospel some stages that I think also apply to us. So Peter, he goes from intrigued and docile to slightly resistant, but kind of obedient, to overwhelmed and astonished. And then finally, to being a disciple. See, Peter's fine at the beginning. You know, he's put in a long night's work. He and his buddies, their boats are on the shore. They're mending their nets. And then this itinerant preacher, who has attracted quite a following, comes over, again, without consultation. And he gets into Peter's boat. And he puts out a short way from the shore. But Jesus is still just teaching the crowds. Everything's fine at this point for Peter. It's actually really safe. It's kind of intriguing. It's kind of nice to be desired and wanted. Jesus is drawing close to him. But it's still focused on other people. But then, as Jesus always does, as he always does, even tonight, he makes it personal. He turns to Peter, and he says, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Well, at this point, the resistance rises in Peter, as it does in all of us. You see, we're fine as long as Jesus is kind of an abstraction, as long as it applies to other people, the gospel and the responsibility of the gospel, and grace and all those things. Everybody's fine with it as long as it doesn't really make a claim on us. But when it does, the resistances come up. And that's why this gospel is so great, because we have such a human figure in St. Peter. As you watch these next moves, pay attention. See how often you have done this in your own life. So Peter first raises a very practical objection. "Master, we've worked hard all night," which, by the way, was when you fished. So here comes this itinerant preacher who's a carpenter and says, "Put out into deep water," precisely at the time when you wouldn't catch any fish. And so he raises a practical objection as the expert, as the fisherman, as the professional. "We've worked hard all night. But," and here's the greatness of St. Peter, "in the midst of the resistance, he's still drawn in. And so he says, but at your command, I'll lower my nets." So he does. Slightly resistant, yes. But obedient, intrigued, still drawn in. So the nets go down. And of course, you know what happens. So many fish that the nets are tearing. They have to call their friends from the shore. They bring their boat, so many fish that both boats are in danger of sinking. The miracle is abundant, super abundant. And watch what Peter does with it. Now it's not a practical objection. Now it's serious, because he knows that this man has broken into his life and is making a claim on him. So he plays his trump card. "Depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. You're super holy. I'm super not. What do we have to do with each other? Leave me alone. Let me be myself. Friends, how often have we done that? I know, because I'm the vocation director for this diocese. I know how that works. I see it happen. As soon as Jesus gets real close, as he's going to make a real claim, that's when everything backs up. Oh, no, not me. I have reasons, and even really good reasons. I'm a big sinner." Notice that Jesus doesn't say, "No, you're not. Simon is a sinner. So are you. So am I. Jesus knows that. He knows it better than you. He knows it better than me. But he sees more. He sees more in Simon. He sees who he can become. He sees who he already is, but doesn't yet know it. And so Jesus responds to that objection. Peter says, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." The late great Archbishop Fulton Sheen, he said that is the one request that Jesus will never honor. If you want to hide in your sins, good luck. Jesus is going to come right to you. He will never honor that. He will come right in because that's the reason he came. What is Jesus' response? Be not afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. The Lord who comes close, do not be afraid of him. He loves you more than you love yourself. That is truth. He loves you more than you love yourself, way more than you love yourself. His plans for you are so far bigger and better than your small plans apart from his will. God came to give you fullness of life. St. Irenaeus, the great second century saint, the glory of God is man fully alive. God is glorified when you come to life in every which way. You know, St. Matthew, when he tells this story, changes the language a little bit. When Peter is called, Jesus says, "I will make you a fisher of men. I will make you a fisher of men." See, it's all about grace, friends. It's all about grace. Peter doesn't perfect himself. Jesus doesn't say, "Hey, if you just work really hard at this, you're going to get good. You'll make yourself better. You'll gain these skills." He doesn't say that because it's not true, and that's not the way the Christian life works. He says, "I will make you a fisher of men." Grace, free gift, freely given. St. Paul in the second reading has a great line. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace in me has not been ineffective." It's all about grace. But friends, this grace requires follow-through, cooperation. Peter still is free. He can choose to stay comfortable and in control of his own life, or he can choose to leave everything and follow the Lord. He does choose. And thanks be to God that he said yes. Thanks be to God. He leaves everything. Is it dramatic? Yes. Is it risky? Absolutely. Is it worth it? You better believe it. Friends, the great adventure of following Jesus is all before every one of us. It requires us to leave everything, to trust him, to go for it. Risky, yes. Absolutely it is. Comfortable, no. But worth it, you better believe it. Now listen, this is the time in your life when if you get serious about following Jesus, your vocation in a particular way, because we're all called to holiness, and that's the big V vocation we all have, but your particular vocation will emerge. This is the time. Don't put it off. This is the time to get very serious about following the Lord. I have three things that are practical for those of you who want to find out what God wants for you in your life. It all presupposes that we're willing to pray, and it also presupposes that we're willing to act. So if you're not willing to do those two things, you're not serious about the spiritual life, and you'll go nowhere. If you pray and if you act, then do these three things. First, in your prayer, pray that the Lord would give you a generous and adventurous spirit. A generous and adventurous spirit. St. Paul says in 2 Timothy, the spirit the Lord has given us is no cowardly spirit, but one that makes us strong, loving, and wise. Some translations say it this way, the spirit the Lord has given us is not a timid spirit. Man, how many timid responses to Jesus have I seen in 12 years as a priest? That's not who you were called to be, because that is not the spirit of the Lord. Second is this. In your prayer, spend some time each day praying to be docile to the will of the Father in your daily realities. Spend some time each day praying to be docile to the will of the Father in your daily realities. Not 10 years down the road, but today, February 10th, and tomorrow, February 11th, in the daily realities of your life, to be docile to the will of the Father. Because it is in that, in the saying yes to the way the Father leads you, in the course of your life, in the daily realities, that your heart will be habituated and formed to say yes in the decisive moments of your life. But start now to be docile to the will of the Father each and every day. And then lastly, serve. Serve. Your life is not about you. Break out of it. Break out of the selfishness and the smallness of that. Serve. And serve especially the poor and serve the church. Those two areas. Serve the poor and serve the church. You do those two things, you are going to find what the Lord wants for you. He will honor that gift of self. Because that's what it's all about. To break out of yourself. Listen now. Any authentic encounter with Jesus will lead you into deep water. It will lead you away from the safety of the shallows. But I hope no one among you wants to live in the shallows. Who wants to be shallow and superficial? You have great hearts, and I have great hope for you. Don't be afraid to follow Jesus into the deep. Because that's where the adventure begins. Pray, act, be generous, be courageous. And I want to say, finally, one last word to those of you who are here, whom the Lord is calling to be a priest or a religious sister. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The Lord calls. He hasn't stopped calling. No one can convince me of that. What has happened is we've stopped listening, and our culture makes it extremely hard to listen. Don't be afraid. The Lord's call is so good. His love is so great, and his plan is so amazingly wonderful, so far beyond anything you could think up for yourself. Don't be afraid to follow him in the radicality of the gospel. Be bold. Be courageous. And when the Lord calls, and he does call, and he is calling, like the prophet Isaiah, step forward and courageously and boldly say, "Here I am, Lord. Send me."